Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, April the 26th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we come to the end of year B, the fifth Sunday of Easter, and on the Friday of the week, let's take a look at the gospel passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves back in the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'm the true vine, said Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it can bear more fruit. You are already clean, that's because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. The branch can't bear fruit by itself, but only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. People who remain in me and I in them are the ones who bear plenty of fruit. Without me, you see, you can do nothing. If people don't remain in me, they are thrown out like a branch and they wither. People collect the branches and put them on fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will happen for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear plenty of fruit and so become my disciples. This is the word of God for us. All right, so I must confess that there are many areas of incompetence in my life. Gardening and outside work is definitely one of them. Like, I really hope one of these days, maybe after Ava and Ezra are, you know, off doing their own adult life and Ginger and I are there with our dogs, that we'll just come to an agreement that we don't have to do any, like, we need to move to a place where there's no more yard work, like no more gardening or weeding to do. If we could just get to a place where all that would be taken away, I would be one happy camper. I have never had a green lawn that has been sustained. A friend of mine in Atlanta, she said, it's hard to grow grass and kids at the same time. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's been proven in my properties that I've had, for sure. I even inherited a really good yard, and it's just not so great anymore. But we do have like this one bush in front of our house. And I just noticed yesterday here, it's, you know, time of this recording, it's April. And so we've had some milder weather. It's the growing season for stuff around here in Kansas. And I've cut this bush back again and again because it does kind of like just get out of control. It doesn't look so tidy. So I just tidy it up a little bit. And man, like I don't know, like I just noticed yesterday, I was walking in the front door and the thing is just taken over again. So there's a sense where if you take something away, like it does kind of come back and you just want to know the mystery of it all. And I think that's maybe the heart of what's going on here in this passage. I mean, Jesus is giving the admonition to his disciples to remain in him. He's not quite clear other than following his commands, what's abiding and remaining in him is. And I think it's kind of like, you know, the process of trying to grow a garden. I mean, I think you and I could do all the right things, you know, and glean all the wisdom from people who are pros at this sort of thing. And we're, you know, counting on the season to be great, or enough rain, enough sunshine, the weather cooperating with us so these things can grow. But ultimately, we don't know. And I think this is one of the mysteries that comes up again and again as Jesus uses horticultural images for his teaching, is there's a mystery in how things grow and whether they're going to bear fruit or not, right? The bearing of fruit is something that's kind of revealed at the end. So it could even look strong all the way to the end. But like when it comes to like the fruit bearing season and the harvest time, we're always kind of like holding our breath, aren't we? And I think that this was an appropriate thing for Jesus to tell his disciples. We notice at the very end of chapter 14, before we get to the verses that we read this morning, it seems like they're talking as they're walking, because the very last verse in verse 31 of chapter 14 says, you know, get up, let's get going. And so maybe they've gotten up from where they were reclining. They're in the streets. They're making their way, of course, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is ultimately going to be apprehended and put on trial and crucified. So he seems to be trying to give his disciples as much as possible. We'll get to chapter 17 where he prays certain things for his current disciples and the ones who will believe in him after his disciples. But nevertheless, I think he wants to convey on them like one of these mysteries of the faith, which is a faith life doesn't have to depend on what's going on in the world around us, but it can be something that we can harbor within. We can harbor a devotion of God within. Of course, it's advantageous to try to grow our faith in more pleasant surroundings. Of course, it's great to be a citizen of a country where you can worship freely. Having places to go, a community of believers, helps exponentially in the probability of growing in the faith. But just like a seed that's put into the ground and it's out of sight and it begins to come up and we're waiting and waiting and waiting to see if it's actually going to bear fruit, maybe a good portion of the Christian faith is similar. And I think this is important for us as we're walking with people who that as we investigate their lives and even as we talk about the faith with them, we're not quite sure where they are, right? And maybe they're younger, they're our kids or our peers, and we just wish that they were more passionate about the faith, or maybe they had practices where they're turning up to church a whole lot more than they are, right? And so we begin to think, man, is this ever going to come to pass in their life? Is it ever going to take root? Are they going to be people who bear fruits? And what I've seen over 20 years of being a pastor, 25 years of being a Christian is you walk alongside people, and sure, you might be able to try to measure something in the moment, but we need to be patient, like the gardener is patient as they pace through their gardens, week after week, and do pruning and do extra work to try to make the tree bear its fruits, or the bushes to grow in a certain way. Like, we can do some of those things, these disciplines, or we can try to admonish the people around us. But ultimately, God is doing a work in all of us. I think that's the very first step of trying to do Christian community, is to say, like, I am not a perfect guide. God is their perfect guide. I might be able to help them and be a great help to them, but ultimately it is God, as Paul says in another part of the New Testament, it's God who brings the growth, right? So I think for me, at least, how this passage meets me today is I would say, like, it's important for me to be dedicated to things that I know that I can do for my own faith, right? The more I know God, the more I know myself. The more I know myself, the more I know God. That's something that John Calvin even reckoned. And so as we get to know ourselves, we get to know God, and vice versa. And then when it comes to the people around us, sure, we need to admonish one another. That's a command that we get through the teachings of Jesus and our leaders. But also it's to hold like their faith journey pretty open-handedly, right? It's like we are not their God. We are not their guide. I think we might be a peer at their best. We might be in partnership with them at the best. But it's best, a great duty of ours would be to be in the practice of handing everyone over to God, right? We've got a vision for their life, and we've got a speech for them, right? Like, we love to tell them how it is. But maybe the most faithful thing is to, of course, love them, as we heard from 1 John 4 yesterday. And then to just trust the gardener as he paces through row after row of all the lives around us, that he is causing the growth and he is investigating the leaves, and he has this great dream for each of them. And ultimately, he's going to be the judge of where they stand at the end. So we should participate in spiritual conversations, spiritual exercises and practices. We should bring them along to stoke their curiosity. But ultimately, we should hand everyone over to God, and this trust the God of ages to be the one who brings the growth in each of their lives, right? So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we're in the care of a great God who watches over our lives and who seeks to grow the fruit of righteousness within it. And in a mystery, we know that is something that we participate in, and then something that's out of our hands at the same time. And so we hear the words of Jesus today, these urgent words, and we reckon with their own life, and we say, we ask that you help us to have patterns and behaviors and ideas that help grow the spiritual life in our life that looks like Jesus's. And God, we confess, we like to try to micromanage and control the people around us. It comes from a place of worry. It also comes from a place of care. But we understand that one of the ways in which we can love them is both to take interest in their life, but also to hand them over to you and to allow you to do your best in their life, because that far exceeds the best that we can give them. And so, God, for the spouses, for the kids, for the peers, for the parents, for the coworkers that are in our life that we fret about and wring our hands over, wondering how they're really doing inside. Give us the wisdom to know what our boundary is. Help us to be empowered to encourage them, to admonish them if there's a chance to do so, but also to end the silence and in the secret to pray for them and to trust that you're the God of ages. You've been growing people for a lot longer than we have. And may we trust in the work that you're doing and have the patience required to see it all the way through. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.